All right, we are back in session. Let's start off with a roll call.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Chair Potts?
Present. We do have our quorum back. I'd also like the minutes to reflect who all is with us. Congressman Lemon, Whitehorn, Redcorn, and then Mr. Gill is with us as well. And Speaker Shaw is here with us in the chamber. Next item on the agenda is investigative report. At this time, we've kind of gone through the confidential portion of this report in executive session. I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Logan Hibbs of Crow and Dunleavy, who's prepared this report for us. And then we'll kind of walk through it and open the floor for discussion. So Mr. Hibbs, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Logan Hibbs. I'm an attorney at Crow Dunleavy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was retained to be a special attorney investigator for this matter after, in December 2024, the Osage Nation received several allegations that Mr. Clinton Patterson, Osage Nation Attorney General, had fraudulently caused his adopted daughter, who we will call for the purposes of her privacy, we will call Jane Doe. And the allegation was that he caused her to obtain a certificate degree of Indian blood, which is a CDIB card, certifying her Osage Nation blood, and that he fraudulently caused her to obtain tribal membership into the Osage Nation. And so because of these serious accusations, the Membership Committee of the Osage Nation Congress called for an investigation into the circumstances of this matter. And so my report provides a detailed factual analysis of the events in question. I also assess whether any applicable legal standards and procedures were satisfied and examine whether Mr. Patterson violated any statutory duties of his office. And so before I begin, what I want to make clear is that when I was conducting my my investigation, I aim to ensure objectivity and factual accuracy. I relied strictly on official records in the Osage Nation's possession and documents that are publicly available either on OSCN or in other databases that are available to the public. And so the report contains only verifiable and factual information, not unsubstantiated allegations. So we will begin. The way that my report is compiled is really three sections. The first section discusses the 2004 CDIB / membership application that Mr. Patterson submitted to the Osage membership department on behalf of Jane Doe. That's section A. Section B is about the 2010 membership application. And the reason why there even is a 2010 membership application is because when he submitted the 2004 application, she ultimately was issued a CDIB, but was not enrolled into the Osage Nation. So then later in 2010, someone resubmits an application for her, and she is ultimately enrolled into the Osage Nation in 2010. And then section C outlines several legal updates in Osage law that occurred once Mr. Patterson began working in the Osage Nation Attorney General's office in 2011, and then highlights several critical communications to my investigation of this matter. So let me begin with the first section, which is regarding Jane Doe's 2004 CDIB membership application. And just to clarify, a CDIB card is issued by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and it certifies that an individual has a certain degree of blood of a federally recognized tribe. And so the importance of a CDIB is that it allows individuals with a CDIB card to receive certain federal programs or be eligible for certain programs and services. A tribal membership is based on the tribe's own laws, and it's an exercise of their sovereignty, and they determine who can be eligible for tribal membership and all of the rights and privileges that membership into the tribe allows. So that's kind of the difference, just so we're all clear on that. So as I mentioned, in 2004, Mr. Patterson submitted a CDIB/membership application to the Osage Nation Membership Department for his adopted daughter. And in that application, he indicated that she was adopted and included a copy of her birth certificate that the copy of that certificate had a date on it of August 11th, 2004. The application was then received by the Osage Nation Membership Department September 7th, 2004. So there's several questions that I analyze here after looking at this application. The first question is there any false information that he's provided in this application? And number two, was Jane Doe eligible to receive a CDIB card? And the reason these questions are important is that whenever someone submits a CDIB application, they have to certify that all the information there is correct. And if they certify and sign that application and the information there is false, then they could be liable for federal penalties. So the first question is, well, did Mr. Patterson provide any false information in the CDIB application? We cannot definitively conclude that he provided false information. However, there are several discrepancies and inconsistencies between this 2004 birth certificate and some subsequent actions by the Oklahoma Department of Human Services that I have made the Osage Nation Congress aware of. And essentially, we can determine that Mr. Patterson had indeed at some point did adopt Jane Doe. And the reason we know that is that we have several district court documents from a district court in the state of Oklahoma where the court verifies that Jane Doe is the biological child of another father. And so that order, that finding is made in 1999. And then, of course, this application is submitted in 2004. And then later in 2010, Mr. Patterson filed a petition in a state district court seeking the removal of the minority of his daughter, who was a minor at that time, and we often would refer to that as emancipation. And in that petition, he swears under oath that he was Jane Doe's father through a decree of adoption, and the court that same day grants Mr. Patterson's petition. And so what we have there and what we can verify there is that Mr. Patterson is swearing under oath that he had adopted Jane Doe at some point, and the court, after verifying that information, finds that to be true. And so we can, with a very high degree of certainty, conclude that he had adopted her. But the question is when had he adopted her? Because if she was not legally adopted by the time that he submitted the 2004 application, then he might be providing false information in that 2004 application. And so the reason why there's a question of whether that had actually occurred is that under Oklahoma law, when a court orders the biological father to pay child support, that father is responsible for the child support until the child is legally adopted. And legal adoption occurs when there's a decree of adoption entered into court. So, for example, let's say that a child was adopted December 31st, 2010, the biological father could be ordered, and in this case was, to pay child support up until the date of adoption. And after that, would not be liable for any months of child support after that date of adoption. The only thing that the biological father still might be liable for are all of the child support payments that he had not paid during the time that he was supposed to pay them. And so when I looked into some public records, I found a matter where the Oklahoma Department of Human Services and their Child Support Enforcement Division had sought child support payments from the biological father up to and including October 2006. So this is important because that is 2 years after the August 2024 date of the production of this copy of the birth certificate, as well as the September 7th, 2004 date in which the membership department received the application. And so there's a question of why was the Oklahoma Department of Human Services seeking monthly child support payments from the biological father for the months after Mr. Patterson had allegedly adopted Jane Doe. So I emphasize that there's an open question. As of now, my report does not contain any conclusions that there was a clear violation or fraudulent act on Mr. Patterson's part, that there is actual false information submitted, but there is an inconsistency here that the Osage Nation Congress may need to address further to determine whether or not she was actually adopted before he submitted the 2004 application, and thus whether he was telling the truth or not in that 2004 application. And so the second question related to this 2004 application is, well, was she actually eligible to receive a CDIB card in 2004? And the answer to this is very clear. No, she was not eligible for that. And the reason is that the Bureau of Indian Affairs issues CDIB cards to certify a person's degree of Indian blood in a federally recognized tribe. And the way they do that is that it's based strictly on biological lineal descent from an individual listed on a federally recognized tribal roll. And so we can clearly establish that she was adopted, and in this application, there's no indication that she was biologically related, or especially lineally related, to an Osage Nation person on the rolls. And so we can conclude that no, she was not eligible for a CDIB card in 2004. But regardless, she was issued one by the BIA that year. And one other piece of information that I will conclude with before moving on to Section B is that she was issued a CDIB in 2004, but was not provided membership into the Osage Nation. And so 6 years later, in 2010, and now we're moving on to Section B, there is an application submitted on Jane Doe's behalf for membership into the Osage Nation. And so sometime in early March 2010, there was an envelope containing this membership application sent to the Osage Nation membership department. And that envelope it did not list expressly who mailed it. It just simply said Patterson and then an address at that time. And so looking inside, the application was an application for membership for Jane Doe, and most of the information was submitted. However, the application, because Jane Doe was was under the age of 18 at that time. The application required a guardian's signature. However, the signature line for her guardian was not signed. And the application indicates that a clerk in the membership department, whose initials were AC, was the clerk who received this application. And AC is likely Asa Cunningham, who was employed in the Osage membership department during this time and was later charged with falsifying several tribal membership records. And so ultimately, in a CDIB, the CDIB that was issued in 2004 was attached to this application as well. And so despite receiving this CDIB and this unsigned application, the membership department ultimately enrolled Jane Doe into the Osage Nation and then issued her a membership card in March 2010. And so those are the facts outlining this section of the report. And so there are two questions that I analyze here. The first is, who filled out and mailed the 2010 membership application? And that's number one. And number two, was Jane Doe ineligible for membership in 2010? So let's go to the first question. The first question is, you know, who submitted this application? And there are several inferences that can be made, but ultimately we cannot conclude this answer with 100% certainty, but I will provide the facts that provide several of those inferences. So before this 2010 membership application was submitted, Mr. Patterson submitted his own application for a replacement membership card. And the address that he lists on that membership application is the same address on the envelope that contained Jane Doe's membership application, as well as the same address that's actually listed in Jane Doe's membership application. And in the emancipation petition that Mr. Patterson filed approximately 8 to 9 months later, he swore under oath that he had some form of custody over Jane Doe at this time. And so I think it is reasonable to conclude that they may have been living together at this time and that he may have been the one to submit this application. The next question we'll look at is whether she was eligible for membership in 2010, even though she was ultimately granted membership. And my answer to that, again, is no. So as an initial matter, the Osage Nation in 2006 passed a law called ONCA 0605, which was the most recent Osage law on Osage membership qualifications as of 2010. And so that's the law that we'll be looking at. And under that law, which I will call the 2006 Act for clarity, under the 2006 Act, it says that all lineal descendants of those Osages listed on the base membership roll are eligible for membership in the Osage Nation, and those enrolled members shall constitute the citizenry of the Osage Nation. Now, the 2006 Act does not expressly define lineal descendants, but several later Osage Acts clarify what this term means. For example, on September 30th, 2011, the Osage Nation passed Resolution 1118, which I'll hereafter call the 2011 Act. And the 2011 Act expressly introduced a biological element to the definition of descendant. In fact, the 2011 Act defined direct descendant as a person who is the biological child of a direct ancestor who is or was an original allottee. And then a few years later, in 2015, the Osage Nation enacted the Osage Nation Membership Act. And that act repeats the language of the 2006 Act that lineal descendants, or only lineal descendants of the Osage Nation, are eligible for membership in the Osage Nation. And importantly, it again defines lineal descendant as a person who is a blood relative in the direct line of a descent to a person on the base membership roll. And so accordingly, the 2011 Act and the 2015 Act reflect the Osage Nation's clear intent on what lineal descendant should really mean. But we don't have to just look at what the Osage Nation or how the Osage Nation later defined that term. We can also look at several definitions that were in existence around the time of the 2006 Act. For example, at that time, the BIA had codified the definitions for lineal ancestor and descendant in 25 CFR Part 61, which governs the BIA's maintenance of Indian rolls. And there, the BIA is saying that a lineal ancestor slash lineal descendant depends on biological or a biological relationship. And then also, in 2000, the BIA proposed a whole subsection of federal regulations governing CDIB applications and the issuances of CDIB cards. And in those proposed rules, they expressly said that lineal descendants are only the biological children of Indians, and that an adoptive parent is not a lineal ancestor, and blood degree cannot be derived from an adoptive parent. Now, those regulations ultimately weren't enacted, promulgated. But there was significant public comment that had been ongoing for 7 to 8 years, which would have included this time. And so there were federal definitions around that were clearly saying lineal descendancy is based on a biological relationship. The Osage Nation later clarifies that lineal descendancy is based on a biological relationship. And so it's very clear to me that at this time, she was not eligible to become an Osage Nation member. This final section is perhaps the most important. And so this final section outlines Mr. Patterson's tenure as first assistant attorney general and attorney general of the Osage Nation. And this timeline goes from 2011 to the present day. And so what I will discuss in this timeline is that Mr. Patterson's had an obligation to remove his adopted daughter from the membership rolls because she was erroneously enrolled into the Osage Nation, that he admitted she was erroneously enrolled, but he ultimately did not do so once he joined the Attorney General's office. So according to his resume, which he submitted to the Osage Nation Osage Nation Congress in March 2020, he began working as first assistant attorney general in the Osage Nation in 2011. And he's served in the Osage Nation Attorney General's office ever since, and becoming Osage Nation Attorney General in 2019. And so several key events occurred during his tenure during that time. First, as I mentioned earlier, the Osage Nation passed the 2011 Act, which expressly defined direct descendant as a person who's the biological child of who is or was an original allottee. Then, of course, in December of 2015, this again is passed while he's in the Attorney General's office. The Osage Nation Membership Act is passed and says that only lineal descendants can be enrolled in the Osage Nation. Lineal descendants have to be biological. And then importantly, there is a provision in this act that states that the Osage Nation General may request removal of an enrolled member through a removal action filed in the Osage Nation Trial Court. And then importantly, this section also states that the Osage Nation Attorney General is the only person who may request removal or file an action for removal. And so what we have here, this is in 2015. So as of 2015, which is around 3 to 4 years into Mr. Patterson's tenure in the Osage Nation General's office, we have Osage law that clearly states that Osage Nation members must be biological lineal descendants of Osages listed on the base membership roll, and that any members who do not qualify for membership under that definition should be removed from the rolls by the Osage Nation Attorney General, and that the Osage Nation Attorney General is the only person who, or at least the office, is the only person who has that authority. And so we know that Mr. Patterson was aware of this because he was involved in several investigations and removal actions during his time as first assistant attorney general and even as attorney general of the Osage Nation. However, despite knowing of this this law and being expected to know of this law as a Osage Nation attorney general and being expected to enforce these laws, he did not take any action to remove her. And in fact, Mr. Patterson recently confirmed that he knew before he was Attorney General that she was ineligible for membership. Indeed, on December 19th, 2024, Osage Nation citizen Amanda Proctor emailed the membership department that Jane Doe may be fraudulently enrolled, and she provided several supporting court documents from Oklahoma, Missouri. Chris Standing Bear then forwarded those emails to Mr. Patterson on December 30th, and Mr. Patterson replied to that email with the following. "Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the heads up. If you pull the membership application, you will see I checked the adopted box. I did not work for the nation at the time of the application. Also, the membership department later contacted me and told me of the error. Jane Doe was already emancipated at the time, and I told them to remove her from the membership roll, but I did not have any authority to do so. I can direct one of my contract attorneys to initiate a removal action now if needed. However, there was no fraud on my part for submitting the application. Happy New Year's, Clint." So this email is very important for a few reasons. So based on this email, which is Mr. Patterson's own words, he acknowledges that the membership department contacted him about her her CDIB card or the invalid Osage Nation membership enrollment sometime after December 2010, which was the date of her emancipation. He then admits to acknowledging the error by telling the membership department to remove her because at that time he did not have any authority to do so. So according to him, the timeline in which the membership department contacted him was sometime after she was emancipated, which was December 3rd, 2010, but before he had the authority to remove her himself, which I don't, I'm not sure how he is analyzing whether his authority, so that could either be 2011 when he joined the Osage Nation Attorney General's office, or it could be 2019 when he became Osage Nation Attorney General. But regardless, this email is showing that he was aware that there was an error, that he then acknowledged that error by telling the membership department to fix it, and that this all happened before he was Osage Nation Attorney General. And so then, of course, once he actually became Osage Nation Attorney General and certainly had the authority to do so and had the obligation to enforce the Osage Nation's laws, he did not take any actions to remove her. And so for this reason, despite knowing about and agreeing with her ineligibility, he failed to remove her once he became Attorney General, and he thus failed to satisfy the duties of his office under several Osage Nation laws. And that is the conclusion of my report.
Thank you, Mr. Hibbs. At this time, the chair will open the floor for any questions, discussion from members of the committee or members of Congress. Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Hibbs, thanks again for the report. And I want to go to what we talked about. Well, we didn't really get into it, but the handwriting on the CDIB card application, the membership to the Osage Nation application, and then the handwriting on the replacement application. We had talked about getting a handwriting analysis to be able to determine that if this was filled out by the same individual. I mean, I can look at this and to me, I can say yes, but could you walk us through what it would take to get, for clarification purposes, a handwriting analysis to look at this?
Certainly. So the Osage Nation, if it chooses to verify if this is all the same handwriting, could hire a handwriting expert, and that what that handwriting expert will likely do is look at these examples and then ask for around 20 or more examples of Mr. Patterson's handwriting that existed before today. And the reason to do that is to determine whether there's any, there's always going to be variations in handwriting to a certain degree. And so if you have around 20 or more, you have a good pool of signatures to say that, well, this handwriting falls within that degree of variation, and it is the same handwriting.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, I just want to clarify that in an earlier membership meeting that we did put the membership department application up on the screen side by side with the application for a replacement card. It was clear to us, but I want to make sure that the public understood that the committee and some members of Congress, we have looked at that. We're not handwriting experts, but it's pretty clear to me, again, that it's the same individual. That's all I have right now, Chair.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman. And to verify for some of the documents that the public is not able to view at this time, and subsequent information included in the 25 or communication 25233 that is public is confidential document 2543 that contains 2019 to 20 exhibits.
Yes, sir.
That we have in front of us. And to speak to that specifically, Congressman Tillman, I think it's exhibit 10A, 13, and then 17A. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you can't look at that and see that that's handwriting, the same handwriting, you just enjoy spending money at this point. And I agree. Are there any other questions? Seeing none immediately, I'm happy to take a look back in, but two of the areas that we had spoken about, Mr. Hibbs, one, we mentioned the state of Oklahoma seeking payment for back child support or child support as late as 2006, I believe it was.
Yes, that's correct.
I wanted to flesh out the result of that, and that was dismissed. Is that?
Yes, the result of that, the state of Oklahoma voluntarily dismissed the case because, according to the filing, they were not able to file. Excuse me, they were not able to find the woman who was Mr. Patterson's wife, or excuse me, a better way to say it is the natural mother of Jane Doe.
Thank you. And then the second area that I'd like to focus on is the issuance of that CDIB card. And I know we kind of speak to it in your report as being an invalid CDIB card or versus valid CDIB card. There's no such thing as a invalid CDIB card, and that's not to poke a hole in your report at all. It is an invalid CDIB card because it is based on a false pretense, in my understanding. So I wanted you to be able to speak to that, maybe include some of the language from not only the CFRs that clearly delineate lineal descendancy as a requirement, but also go into some of those requirements as of 2017.
Certainly. So I reviewed several BIA internal policies and procedures. And when it comes to Osage Nation membership, and really when it comes to a CDIB card in any federally recognized tribe, they look for biological descendancy, direct biological descendancy, from someone who was on one of the original rolls that they have decided that they will look at. So, for example, the 1906 membership rolls here for the Osage Nation. And so there must be documents provided. The applicant must provide documents showing that there's some sort of biological lineal relationship to obtain a CDIB card. That's how it works now, and that's how it even would have worked in 2004.
And so to confirm, that CDIB card was issued then, and there's no way to now invalidate that card?
So your first question, yes. The CDIB was issued in 2004, and then as in regards to whether there was any way to invalidate it, it's a very difficult thing to do. There are some pathways from my understanding, the BIA will sometimes revoke a CDIB, but there has to be a hearing, there's due process, and it's a pretty high barrier for that to occur.
regardless, we can document today that that should not have been issued, and it exists today.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Because the last thing that I'll go into, and we kind of mentioned it before, and I want to go back over that, is your definition of fraud and what we're kind of looking at. And then I can speak to that a little bit as well.
So generally, I'm not aware of express Osage Nation law on this, but most courts across the nation follow the very similar elements to fraud. And it's that someone makes a false representation to another party. That other party relies on that false representation to take some sort of action. And that is the general definition of fraud that's generally accepted by courts across the United States.
Thank you, Mr. Hibbs. And the pathway that I laid out and what I see in these documents that is troubling to me is exactly, in my mind, what you just stated, is that in the 2010 application for membership to the Osage Nation, in accordance with the 2006 Act that was written and passed by this body, that a CDIB card could be utilized and relied upon to grant membership. We have an individual that was granted membership in 2010, based in part at least on the issuance of a CDIB card under false pretenses, or what appear to be false pretenses. And I've walked through that initial 2004 application for the membership application, and it pretty clearly says the Osage parent, I believe there's six exclamation points after that statement of Osage parent, six exclamation points. And then that application is signed by Mr. Patterson that details and depicts a lineage there that does not belong to a biological parent. And that initial application that was caused to be granted a CDIB card was utilized and relied upon to grant membership in 2010, albeit without a signature on an application, which is another troubling revelation. But our body, our nation, relied on that document, a false document, to make something legitimate, and that is an Osage Nation membership for the individual in question. We've got some problems here. And I appreciate the committee undertaking this and kind of getting to the bottom of it based on some initial allegations. And I would like to extend that to the committee at this time and just say thank you for your diligence here, and thank you, Mr. Hibbs, for your report. Are there any other questions or comments? Congressman Tillman.
Excuse me, did Congressman Maker have anything? I thought I heard.
I didn't see any hands on the online. Congressman Maker, Congresswoman Whitehorn, Congresswoman Lemon, Congressman Redcorn, if you have any comments, please let us know.
Chair?
Congressman Maker.
Well, first of all, we all find this, you know, extremely disturbing that this could happen to our Attorney General, our Chief Law Enforcement Officer. And it's just something that we have to do as this committee, and I think it's time to look into further action. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Maker. Are there any other comments? Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, yeah, there's a lot going through my mind right now, and you know, it's difficult to sit here and talk about Clint Patterson, our Attorney General, when he was appointed by Chief Standing Bear and he was confirmed by this Congress. So he's got our blessings to take the role of the Attorney General's Office for the Osage Nation. And I read this report, and so many things jump out to me One conclusion is the unequivocal Jane Doe was ineligible to receive a CDIB card in 2004. And I have a hard time believing that our Attorney General, Mr. Clint Patterson, he knew at that time that she was not Native American and she was not Osage. Similarly, ineligibility for the Osage membership card in 2010, when that application was submitted, I have a hard time believing that Mr. Patterson, he knew that she was Jane Doe, was not Native American, and she was not Osage. And then again, on the application for a replacement, I have a real hard time believing he knew she was not Native American and she was not Osage. And then despite knowing of her ineligibility before he came Attorney General, Mr. Patterson failed to remove her once he entered office. And by at least December 14th, 2015, Osage law explicitly barred non-biological descendants from tribal membership and vested the Attorney General with exclusive authority to initiate removal actions. Once he acquired this authority, Mr. Patterson took no action to correct the error. His inaction not only allowed an ineligible person to remain on the Osage Nation membership roll, but also undermined the integrity of the membership system he was charged with upholding. And again, we're speaking to verifiable facts within this report. We don't know the adoption date of Jane Doe. And I think the only way you get to that point is a hearing and ask Mr. Patterson, along with many, many other questions that we have. And it comes down to me, sometimes it comes down to character. And when you talk about character, what's a person's character? And on the very first page of the exhibits, I don't know, exhibit two, when Congressman Potts issued an email to the tribal rolls of the citizen Potawatomi Nation, and Congressman Potts' email, to whom it may concern, I serve as chairman of our membership committee in Congress. I'm seeking to verify if the citizens Potawatomi Nation is enrolled a citizen, a Clint Noel Patterson, date of birth 11/26/1971. The response was filed the next day from the citizen Potawatomi tribal rolls. Good morning. Yes, he is an enrolled member of the citizen Potawatomi Nation. Our Osage Nation allows dual enrollment, but the citizens Potawatomi tribe does not. Mr. Patterson, I know you had to be aware of this, and it's still you enrolled yourself as a member of the citizens Potawatomi tribe. There's a lot of things before us here today that I don't think we're ever going to get an answer to unless we go to a hearing. I'm disappointed somewhat in the lack of response that I've heard from the Attorney General's office. In my mind, if you're innocent of these things, write a statement proclaiming your innocence. But I do believe that the only way we're going to get there is through a hearing. Because if we're just looking at this today as we see it in front of us, it's hard for me not to recommend that Mr. Patterson step down and resign as Attorney General. But I do know there's two sides to every story. Our side, and there's going to be his side. And the only way that we're going to get there is through a hearing. So I'll make those motions when it comes time if anybody else has any statements.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman. I can echo those. in that we do see before us a pattern here and some behavior that's pretty well documented. We see the signature on the 2004 application for CDIB, and then we see in an email from Mr. Patterson that says, but I checked adopted, but I covered it. I said she was adopted, so that, you know, shouldn't be counted against me there. But it was still wrong. Still wrong to depict your family lineage there. We do see, and Congressman Tillman, I appreciate that, that response from the citizen Potawatomi was the same day. They were very quick to respond. And I have followed up with a letter to Chairman Barrett because I know and respect their sovereign documents the same way that I would hope that they respect ours. And they clearly do not allow for dual enrollment in their constitution. That's a problem. And this speaks just from my experience in Congress, but we also have a problem here previously with Mr. Patterson not being admitted to the proper jurisdictions until it's been brought to his attention, even though the law required it. And so we have this kind of pattern of, can I catch me if you can? I'm going to check this box, but catch me if you can. I'm going to enroll a citizen Potawatomi, but catch me if you can. I'm not going to follow that Osage law until somebody tells me I have to, even though we told him we had to when we initially confirmed him. That was a big point of contention, and I believe I abstained from that vote because at the time he was not enrolled in those proper courts. So I see a pattern here that speaks to that catch me if you can attitude, and I'm done. What we also see is on page 16 of this report, there at the top, that any members who do not qualify for membership under the definition should be removed from the rolls by the Osage Nation Attorney General. We knew, and we know he knew, because as late as December 20th, 2024, he writes in an email, I did not have the authority to do so when he was initially contacted. Our membership department reached out and said, hey, there's a problem. And his response is, I don't have the authority to do so. But then he gained the authority and still did nothing. Until we get to somebody saying, hey, red flags here. And now it's been brought to our attention and others are saying, hey, this has to be fixed. And just like we did with the citizen Potawatomi, just like we did with saying, hey, there's a problem here with our courts of jurisdiction. Now we're fixing it. And I'm glad that we are. I'm glad that this committee has taken action. I'm glad that this Congress has taken action. And I hope that we can continue to go in that direction. But the acknowledgement of, I knew it was wrong and I didn't have the authority then, but since gaining that authority, we still haven't gotten there until today. We've got some problems. And I've lost confidence in our Attorney General and his ability to perform those duties as described. And so I too think it's time, you know, unless there's a great defense that we're just somehow not seeing. And I think that is welcome at this table, but I don't know how there's a great defense for all of these things, maybe one or two. But this pattern that I'm seeing is troubling. And so I, too, have lost that confidence in our AG and would much prefer this to take an easier path. And if that is him stepping down, I urge that to happen. Because what we do have is, I think, an Osage News article that said, you know, anybody looking at this and taking it seriously is laughable or something to that effect of it shouldn't be taken serious. This is serious. Of the utmost importance. It is literally who we are to our core. And I think we've got a serious issue here. Are there any other comments? Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If it's proper at this time, I'll alert the clerk and I'll email these to her as well and to the speaker. and they can distribute them. But I have, I believe, four or five motions if it's that time, Mr. Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to hold a hearing of the membership committee on July 10th, 2025 to obtain testimony from witnesses relating to investigation report, communication 25-233, and related documents and evidence.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? I believe this committee had already authorized a hearing to occur, and I appreciate Congressman Tillman. This will be the date for the hearing, and Madam Speaker, we'll plan accordingly based on this. So all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
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 Mr. Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to request that the Speaker of the Congress prepare and issue a subpoena to Chris Standing Bear, Director of the Osage Nation membership, to appear at the hearing on July 10th.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
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 Mr.
Motion
Chair.
Passes. Congressman Tillman.
I'd like to make a motion to request that the Speaker of the Congress prepare and issue a subpoena to Susan Bayrow, Secretary of Administration for the Osage Nation, to appear at the hearing on July 10th.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
I'd like to make a motion to request that the Speaker of the Congress prepare and issue a subpoena to Clinton Patterson, Attorney General of the Osage Nation, to appear at the hearing on July 10th.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. Congressman Tillman.
Chair, lastly, I'd like to make a motion to recommend to the Congressional Affairs Committee retain the services of Mr. Logan Hibbs of Crow and Dunleavy to assist with the committee hearing if deemed necessary by the committee and by the Congressional Affairs Committee.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes.
That's all I have, Chair.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman. Is there any further discussion? Mr. Hibbs, again, we thank you for being here. Got you out of here 20 minutes early. Look at us. Thank you. Thank you again, Mr. Hibbs, for being here with us. And that's a wrap, folks. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion is accepted. Without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you, Madam Clerk.